All right, tonight, if you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews. And a little footnote to the message this morning, that message is already out of date because I found out this afternoon that Donald Trump has also won the majority of the popular vote. So he took everything, and God didn't have to overrule that majority, but God does do that. And we thank the Lord for his blessings and continue to pray for our country. If we're not careful, we'll let down the guard and think, well, we've won the victory and things are like we want them to be, but there's a long way to go in this country. I was thinking Tuesday night, Wednesday morning when I went to bed, you wake up the next morning, it's still the same country with the same problems, the same sins, the same nature, and we do have a different leader coming up. And so may the Lord help him and bless him. And we pray that God would give him good people around him to make right decisions. And I know that there are some things in the works, even on the spiritual side of having some folks to give some advice. And some of the names I've heard have been very encouraging. And so we thank the Lord for that. God can do his work, and God uses men to accomplish his will. And so tonight we pray that the Lord will bless our nation, and we can have revival. It's not beyond the reach of the Lord. Many of the awakenings and the revivals that have been down through history have started on a very small scale. The great movement in Kentucky years ago, and you can go to that place where it started, just outside of Paris, Kentucky, and just started because a young girl got concerned about her family, got concerned about the lost, and from that came multitudes of people that got saved, and just the encouragement from the Lord. And so God can do as he chooses, and God can use small and large, big, little, rich and poor. He can use all of us if we will permit him to. I think the real key to it is our ability to say yes to the Lord, and that he would bless us in that. Tonight I want to deal with the subject of four different men that God used to do some things in the work of the Lord that are very, very important. They're patriarchs of the Old Testament, men of God, of the people of Israel. And down through the history of time, God has used a multitude of different people, men and women alike. God has used to bring about many things to be accomplished in the work of the Lord. And it's an amazing thing to study and to discover how that God used each of them in a different way. And God used them with different circumstances and produced things that were important in the work of the Lord. I'm glad God doesn't have an assembly line that just puts saints together. God has a will for us. God has a directive for us that we can follow. And when we do that, then his blessings are upon us. These men tonight that we look upon, they were people just like you and I. They had the same passions, had the same problems, had the same sins, and they were certainly not perfect in their life, but they were willing to be used of God. And as I said a moment ago, I believe that is what is very important, is our willingness to be used of God and not shut him out, but to be open to the things that the Lord has for us. And how God might use you would be different than what he would use me. And some of the things the Lord would bring into your life would be different than what he brings into my life. And how God molds us and makes us is an amazing thing. And really, it's a secret of just going on with the Lord and serving him with the best of ability. To be able to serve God, there must be two-way communication. God talks to us, and we talk unto the Lord. And for us to have the will of God in our life, there's one way, cooperation. It's not our way, but it's his way. And we have ability to communicate But when it comes to service, then we must cooperate with Him and be willing to give and to take whatever comes our way, whatever plan that God has for our life. I'm sure the Apostle Paul didn't realize when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, even though God gave him the outline of his life, told him he would stand before kings and he'd stand before royalty. Even though God told him that, I'm sure Paul did not realize the crooks and the turns and the valleys and the mountaintops that would be in his pathway. But yet he went on with the Lord to serve him. Tonight in the book of Hebrews, we could pick out a number of different people and notice how the Lord used them, how God blessed them. But I'm going to just go in order here, and we're going to start in verse number 8. And verse number 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went." Here is Abraham and his work of the Lord, and the things that God did for him is an amazing story in the life of this man called Abram, and then later called Abraham. And he's one of the most important characters in the history of Israel. He is one of the most important men that has graced the history of that nation. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, he says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance," and the key word there in that verse is the word obeyed. When God called him, God put a specific place in his heart and his life, and the scripture sums it all up in the life of Abraham, is that he obeyed God. And the scripture tells us in the Old Testament that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so this righteousness came because of his obedience unto the Lord. You and I tonight, we are saved. We have the righteousness of God upon us because one day we were obedient unto the call of the Lord that he says, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest." Paul tells us that he was obedient unto the call that God gave to him. And so obedience is that portion of life that's so very important, that if we're going to do anything effective for God, it's going to have to be in connection with our obedience, our cooperation with the Lord. It's not God cooperating with us, but it's us cooperating with Him. And Abraham's life is a life that is really, all the way through, it is known as a life of sacrifice. When you think of Abraham, sacrifice is the first thing that I think of in the things that he did. When the Lord called him, and here Hebrews just tells us that God told him to go, and he received there the land would be for an inheritance. He went out not knowing whether he went. So Abraham didn't know where he was going, didn't have any idea what was going to take place, but yet he obeyed God and followed the Lord. And when you come to Genesis chapter 12, we may turn back to some of these passages, but just in we can remember most of these things. We find in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, God comes to Abraham and he says, "Get you out of thy country and go to the land that I'll show you." And he said, "You leave your kindred, you leave your people, and you go away from where you are." Now that took a great sacrifice for this man Abraham, for he was a very wealthy, very rich, very prominent man where he was. And God came to him and he says, "I want you to sacrifice your time from your family and leave this place that you are accustomed to." Abraham obeyed God. He didn't know where he was going. And the writer of Hebrews instills that to us, that he didn't have a blueprint from God. He didn't have a roadmap. He didn't have a plan from the Lord. He just had the word of God said, "Abraham, I want you to leave. Get away from your kindred or your relatives. Get away from your land where you're comfortable." All of us have that comfort zone that we're in. We all have that. And sometimes the Lord lets us and makes us and requires us to get out of that comfort zone so we can do something different for Him and something that's more active in the things of God. So Abraham had to sacrifice in his leaving. He left where he was comfortable. He left his family. He left everyone except Lot went along with him, and that was a mistake. He should have left Lot behind, but Lot went with him. And he sacrificed everything that he had, and he carried his goods, his livelihood, his great wealth. He carried that with him, and he didn't know where he was going. And you and I today, we would say, "Man, that guy's crazy." He hears a voice from the Lord, and he's leaving. And somebody asked him where he's going. He said, "I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going where God tells me." And God led him every step of the way, and finally ended up in that land of promise. That was an inheritance that was going to be given to Abraham and his seed after him. Abraham left his homeland to go to another land that really wasn't anything that he knew. And there, Abraham, of course, is the father of the nation of Israel. And so there was no Jewish people at that time. There was no Jew as far as nationality was concerned. And so Abraham goes out by faith, and no wonder he's listed here in God's Hall of Fame as one of those great men that exercised faith not knowing where that he was going. So he sacrificed in his leaving in Genesis chapter number 12. Then in chapter number 13, he sacrifices Lot. He gives up Lot, that one that went with him that really should have stayed behind, and maybe Abraham should not have took him because the Lord said, the angel of the Lord said, get away from all your kindred, get away from your people. But he takes Lot with him, and we know the story, how that Lot and his herdsmen and Abraham and his herdsmen, they had conflict because they both were very rich and had many goods, and they had conflict over the place where they were staying. And in Genesis chapter 13, we find in verses 8 through 12, that Abraham comes to Lot and said, it's not good that we have strife. And I'm just paraphrasing. He said, it's not good that our herdsmen are striving against each other. He said, so you look on the land before you, and you take the land, whichever way you want to go, you go, and I'll take what's left. And so he sacrificed his nephew Lot and said, we have got to part. It's not good that we have strife because we are brethren. We are of the same flesh, and Abraham did not desire to have that conflict between the two families and their herdsmen. And so he sacrificed in his leaving. He sacrificed Lot, and he said, you go one way, and I'll go the other way. Abraham should have really said, I'm going to take this land. You can have this land, because Abraham was the elder. He's the one that should have had the final say in that, but he leaves it up to Lot. He said, you pick your land. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. It really didn't matter. Abraham was willing to sacrifice those things in order for the strife to be gone. Of course, we know the story. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan, and in that were the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot got into trouble and lost his family, lost his wife, lost everything that he had because he got involved in that lifestyle. At least he was akin to it, and he understood it, and he did not condemn that. And God, of course, destroyed those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham's life is filled with sacrifice. But I believe the greatest sacrifice that you'll find in the life of Abraham is when God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to take thy son, thine only son, I want you to take him and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. And so he sacrificed and was willing to sacrifice this lad by the name of Isaac. We find that he takes him up and takes him to the mountainside where God showed him. He said, you again, he leaves by faith. He said, you go and I'll show you where the sacrifice will be. Again, Abraham doesn't know where he's going. He's just following the word of God and following the will of God. And he's sacrificing everything in his life in order to be obedient unto the Lord. No wonder Paul says in Hebrews chapter 11, he says that he should receive an inheritance obeyed. No wonder Paul puts that in there, because the life of Abraham is overshadowed by that term of obedience. And so now he takes the young boy, and of course you know the story, how that they go up the mountain, and the boy says, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And God did that, and God provided that ram caught in a thicket. And Abraham, as far as he was concerned, that boy was as good as dead. But he believed in his heart that if he raised that knife and slew that his son, his only son, because Ishmael is out of the picture now, he doesn't count. Ishmael is a product of the flesh. Isaac is a product of the spirit. Ishmael's not in there, and he, as far as God was concerned, Abraham only had one son, and that was Isaac. And therefore, Abraham believed God so much, and Hebrews tells us that he believed if God permitted him to kill his son, that God would raise him from the dead. And what a perfect, wonderful picture that is of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was willing to offer the sacrifice of his son, and then, of course, did raise him from the dead. And so he sacrificed in leaving, he sacrificed Lot, and he sacrificed the lad, that son that was so very dear to him and very close to him. So Abraham carried on with God and served God, and his life was filled with sacrifice after sacrifice, giving and giving and giving. And the scripture says he obeyed God. What a wonderful testimony it is. Even though he lived a life of sacrifice, the scripture says that he obeyed God. The next one we read right in order, of course, is this one that we've just dealt with just a little bit. You find there in verse number 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Time has gone on now, and process of time has taken place. And Isaac has these two sons. And he is known by his submission unto the will of God. We're going to turn back just a little bit into the book of Genesis, and I want to read some verses here concerning this man, Isaac, and what a wonderful story it is concerning Isaac. In chapter number 22, we find that he now is submitting to the will of his father, and he submits to this offering, and we've already rehearsed that, so we'll not read those things, but he was submissive in even his early life. Now, he was not just a young boy. He was on up closer to not a teenager, wasn't a little boy sometimes that we think about. He had ability to say yes or no, and Isaac was very submissive to what God told him to do. He was willing to do the things that his father told him. Abraham, verse number 3, rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into a place of which God had told him. So God says, here's where you're going, and you take Isaac, take thy son, thy only son. And Isaac was submissive into the will of his father. And all of Isaac's life is submissive unto the things that the Lord had given unto him. And when you come to Hebrews chapter number 11, we find that by faith Isaac blessed his sons. Isaac's life is known by the way that he lived, the things that he did. He was willing to lay down his life. We're looking at it now not from Abraham's standpoint of sacrifice. We're looking at the same incident here from the standpoint of Isaac being submissive to what his father had told him to do, being submissive unto that authority over him. And so Isaac, he leaves with his father. He goes and he takes the things that are there available to him. They have the fire. They have the wood. They loaded up all those goods and those things, and they go to the place where God had shown Abraham. Again, Isaac didn't know where he was going, and Abraham had been shown of the Lord there as they traveled where he was going to go. And Abraham said to his young men that went with him, said, men, the boy, we're going to go there and we're going to worship God, but we're going to come again. And so Abraham had faith that Isaac was going to come back down that mountain with him, even though he knew that God had told him he was going to sacrifice him. And here Isaac is and say, here I am, Father. Here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And just a little while later, you'll find in the book of Genesis that Abraham lays Isaac down upon that altar there to offer him as a sacrifice. And you don't hear a word about Isaac complaining. You don't hear a word about Isaac fighting against that. And he just submissively does what Abraham asked him to do. And God lists him. And of course, Isaac is one of the great, great characters of the Old Testament. And his life is known as a life of submission unto God. He was willing to do whatever God told him to do. Where his father, his life is known as a sacrifice. Isaac's life is known by submission, being willing to obey the Lord. He didn't have to do that. He could have run. He could have taken off. He could have rebelled against it, but he did not. He was submissive in his work with his father, and he submitted himself to the wisdom of his father. And we find that Abraham says in verse number 18 of Hebrews 11, of whom it is said that Isaac shall thy seed be called. God knew that Isaac was going to come through this. God had already promised him. God had already told him, said, through Isaac, your seed is going to be blessed. And Isaac believed God. And God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And of course, that figure is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaac was submissive in his life. If we want to be used of God, God may put us through the sacrificial part of life. Some things we may have to think we give up. Now, there are some things we may think we have to no longer be able to do because of the work of the Lord. I read a statement the other day from, I forget who it was, a missionary from days gone by. And he said, when we consider what all God has given to us, how can we say that the call of God upon us is a sacrifice? It's really a pleasure that we are able to serve the Lord that loves us so much that he has called us unto his work. And so Abraham sacrificed, Isaac was submissive, and then of course we know he had two sons. The Bible says there that in verse number 20 also, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, and by faith Jacob when he was dying. Now we find here we have the man Jacob. Jacob is an interesting, and I'll call him a character of the Old Testament, because he was a character. He was a trickster. His name means surplanter. It means one that takes over. And the Lord used some things in his life. And God did it just simply because God had to, and God was sovereign to work these things out in the life of this man by the name of Jacob. Finally, God got his attention, and Jacob walked with a limp his entire life after he fought the angel of the Lord. And so Jacob's life, I put out beside this, Abraham was a sacrificial life. Isaac was a submissive life. But Jacob's life was ordered and dictated by the sovereignty of God. Everything that Jacob did, he was almost forced to have to do that. There are some things beyond our control. There are some things in my life. There's some things in your life that are beyond our control. And therefore, they are not beyond the control of God. God has total control. And God exercised his sovereignty in Jacob's birth. Back in the book of Genesis again, Genesis chapter 25, you find that there was two boys born, Jacob and Esau. Esau being the elder, Jacob being the younger. And of course the strife was always there between them. And it was God's plan. Now, Jacob didn't have anything to do with his birth, how he was born. He didn't have anything to do being born as a twin. And he had no control over those things, and he had no choice and in the lineage that God gave to him. And but yet God said, you're going to be used of me. And God says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to honor you. And Jacob went through a lot of struggles because he was headstrong and he was self-willed and he wanted to have his own way, and he tricked everybody he was around, and he destroyed everything that was around him. But God in his sovereignty worked things in his life that put Jacob in the right place where he could be used of God. And of course, Jacob is known. His name was changed unto Israel. And out of him came those sons that made up the tribes of Israel. And out of his loins became a nation that can trace all the way back to Abraham. But now you have Jacob that God has put in a place and put in a position, and by his sovereign grace upon him, Jacob is used of God almost by force. And even in his bride, God had a different choice than he did. You read the scripture, you'll find that Jacob loved Rachel, but God chose Leah. And God, in his working hand, through Leah came one of the sons named Judah. And we know that's very important. For out of the tribe of Judah comes the lion, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this is from the union of Jacob and Leah. And so you have the product of the Lord Jesus Christ coming through him, and that particular son named Judah. She had another son. His name was Levi. Not only do we have the king coming through Leah, we have the priesthood. The priesthood that is given to us comes from the sons of Levi. And they were the Levitical tribe, and they were the ones that they didn't have any land given to them. They didn't have anything especially for them. They lived in the synagogues. They lived by the offerings and the things that were given to the people of God as they brought them in, and that's how they lived. They didn't have a place. They didn't have a portion of land like Benjamin did and Issachar and some of those other sons that Jacob had and through Joseph. And we find that God in his sovereignty has given now in the life of Jacob everything in order for his work to go on. That's why I said this morning, God's in control, and sometimes he uses people that we would not use. But God has a final say. God has a final knowledge out there of how it's going to all end, and it's going to end just like he says it is. It's going to end just like God knows it is. And so whatever God does, he does in order to produce the perfect will of God for mankind. And so God exercised his sovereignty in the birth of Jacob, in the bride of Jacob. And if we had time tonight, you could read Genesis chapter number 49, chapter number 50. God even had his sovereign will in the burial of Jacob. Jacob said, don't leave me here. And you read chapter 50, and when Jacob dies, Joseph is able to go to the Pharaoh, and he requests leave of him. He said, we will come back. Of course, they were still under bondage. And he said, but let us go to our homeland to bury my father. And of course, Pharaoh permitted that, and God put him in the right position. So God can use us in many, many different ways. There's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and I guess maybe one of the most celebrated men of the Old Testament is this man by the name of Joseph. Through him, God gave deliverance. I have a book up in my library by Arthur Pink. And Arthur Pink is a great writer. And he has a book that's probably out of print now. I've had it for 35, 40 years. And, of course, Arthur Pink's dead. His writings are still alive. But that book is Gleaning in Genesis. And he gives, I believe it's in that book, that he gives over 100 ways that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very detailed and very good study. And so Joseph, in his life, he started out in a bad way. He started out and he realized that, well, he didn't realize, but his parents realized that there's a death sentence upon him. And in his life, we find that that God blessed him in all those things. And Joseph was a work of the Lord, and he suffered in his parents' house. Turn back to Genesis chapter number 37. So many of these things in the book of Hebrews, you have to go back to Genesis to get the timeline, the story of it. Genesis chapter number 37. You know the story, the history of Joseph, how that he was hated, and how that there was a threat upon him. They desired him to be, his brothers desired he to die. And the Bible says in verse number 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock when his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhad and with the sons of Zelphar, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. We know the story, how that this coat brought about much anguish in the life of Joseph. He suffered in his father's house because he was greatly loved of his father. He was sort of like that youngest boy, that youngest son. He was the son of the old age, and we understand probably he treated like a grandchild, had everything he wanted, and whatever he desired, he had that, and that made those other children very envious and very jealous. And so Joseph suffered in his own parents' home. And we know the story, how they take him and they are planning on killing him. They put him in a pit, and then there's those merchants that come by and they sell Joseph and they carry him to Egypt. And very quickly we go through the story, and all of a sudden Joseph finds himself in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was a very, very well-to-do man. He was high authority in the land of Egypt, and he was in Potiphar's house, and he was well trusted by Potiphar. He was wherever Joseph went, God blessed whoever he was with. And Potiphar's house was blessed because Joseph was there, and he was treated right, and he treated them right. But we find that there was an incident there in Genesis chapter 39. We find the scripture gives us what takes place. Joseph is tested, and he's at Potiphar, an officer of Egypt, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. He brought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, and which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Again, verse number 3: the Lord was with him. Verse number 21: the Lord was with Joseph. But in between that, Potiphar's wife brought about accusation against Joseph that was not true. And Joseph is suffering there in the house of not his parents, but now in the house of Potiphar. His life is filled with suffering. His life is filled with turmoil. And now Potiphar's wife brings accusation against him. Potiphar throws him in prison. And he suffers when he's in prison. They had the baker and butler that were there, and one promised certain things, and if he got out he would remember Joseph, and he did not remember, and Joseph was in prison wrongfully, and all of his life was concerning suffering. That's why he's a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of our Lord, Isaiah said he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And Isaiah says we look upon him, he doesn't even look as a person. Suffering will do one of two things to us. Suffering will make us better, or it will make us bitter. We'll either become better for the Lord, or we'll become bitter in our life because of the struggles that come Thank God in Joseph's life he became much better and became a perfect picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. If our faith cannot be tested, then we don't have much. But when struggles come, when suffering comes, when sacrifice comes, if we stand the test, if we'll obey the Lord as Abraham did, if we'll obey the Lord as Joseph did, if we will do what God commands us to do, and it commands us in the work of the Lord, then God can bless us and God can use us. So here are four men tonight that are very important in the history of Israel. These four men are very important in the scriptures that are before us. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. They're not the only ones that's important, but these are men tonight that their lives were used of God, and they had specific things in their life that made them pliable or made them usable in the work of God. Abraham was willing to sacrifice. Isaac was willing to be submissive. Jacob had to be under the sovereign rule of God for him to be used of God. And Joseph's life, his life, was life that was known by suffering in his parents' house, in Potiphar's house, and in the prison house. But when he come to the palace, the suffering was over. When he gets to the palace, when he is treated like and he is known as Pharaoh's son, he has every ability, has all the authority of the son of Pharaoh, for it is Pharaoh's daughter that takes him and brings him into their household. And there he has all the authority that he could imagine. But yet when he sees his brothers, he is moved with compassion upon them, and he's willing to give up all those things in order to have the will of God in his life, to take care of his family, to take care of his father, to take care of those needs that they had, that he had the ability to do. And the Bible says concerning him that he was willing to give up everything that he had for the will of God. Praise the Lord, the suffering in Joseph's life brought about victory that was accounted unto him. And we have the joy of knowing the many mighty deeds that Joseph did in his life. So when we feel like we're giving a sacrifice, it may be the Lord just putting us in a place that we can be used of God. When we feel like that all we ever do is have to say yes and submit ourselves to something or to someone, it may be that the Lord is working in our life that we can be used of God. And it may be that we feel like that I just have to do it, and God's making me do that. It may be that God's molding us and making us so that we can be usable in the work of the Lord. And then so many times we feel like we suffer, and it maybe is that God's working in our life that we can typify and we can honor the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our suffering Savior. Everything he did was acquainted with grief and sorrow and anguish and pain. Thank God he went to Calvary one day. He died for me. Surely we can live for him. May God help us to carry on with the Lord. Whatever station of life we find, whatever position God gives to us, may we be willing to say yes to him. May we be like may we be like Abraham and just says simply, obeyed. May God help us to obey the Lord in our life. Let's stand together tonight.